Welcome to the NSH podcast. As an ongoing series, we will be having short conversations with the 2023 awards and scholarship recipients. In this episode, we will be talking to Cindy Lowe of Vanderbilt University. Cindy is the recipient of the Jules Elias Award for Excellence in IHC and Molecular Techniques. This award is presented annually to the NSH member who shows excellence in IHC techniques. Let's get started. Can you tell us how you initially got into the field of histology?
Well, it's an interesting thing, and I know it for me because I am religious. I look at it as a God thing because I had just been laid off from another lab job, and I really didn't even know what I was going to do. And someone came in and they're like, hey, there's this job over here. And I thought, but then my brother said he was coming to school in Nashville. And so instead of moving home, I renewed my lease and I took the job, and it happened to be for a corporation called Path Group, which is it's big in Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm at now. And they taught me everything from the gross room all the way through to special stains. I went to Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and that's where I'm at now. And I started learning immunohistochemistry. And so at that point, I was kind of like, wow, I've got a whole side of both the clinical, which was Path Group, and the research, which is at Vanderbilt. So I've been really blessed, really, really blessed.
Yes, it definitely sounds like it was meant to be.
Yeah. I was totally going to go home and back to East Tennessee and just, I don't know what I was going to do, truthfully. Do I go back to school? Become a farmer? I didn't know what I was going to do because my family lives on a farm. And so that's what we were going to. I was like, maybe that's what I'm meant to do. But God had a different plan. So.
The Jules Elias Award specifically recognizes individuals who have excelled in IHC. Can you talk a little bit about your work you've done in IHC over the years? And what are you the most proud of in your years of working in histology?
Oh, that's a loaded question. There's so much there to unpack. I was always driven to immunohistochemistry because I've dealt with allergies my whole life, and I've learned some things personally that I'm just uncanny. And I said, wow, again, I'm like, well, God was all over this. But with immunohistochemistry, I've started at the basic where you're just like doing your routine Ki-67. Some people call it Ki-67. And then I'm doing like a basic cytokeratin or AE1, AE3. All the way up to now, I'm dipping my toe into the genomics RNA, genomics nanostring, Visiome projects, which get into the molecular biology side. And I'm getting into the RNA scope and multiplex IF side. And so it's amazing to sit back and think that what I'm doing now is like just the beginning and where it's going to go. My hope is that this will break for people that every block, even histology or immunohistochemistry, every block yields a slide, and every slide is a person, even if it's from research side and animals, that is going towards someone. The hope is that someone is either helped, they're healed, something. But in the long term, that is the goal. And I realized that, and God's really blessed me to understand that the hope with everyone we do, every person that comes and they say, here's my project, here's what I hope to do, whether it's in diabetes research, whether it's in cancer research, whether it's in MS research, it's, you know, there's so many people that just are hurting and in need. And I feel like with histologists, we're just chipping away to get them the answers and to help them to move forward. And that's what I look at whenever I see my job. I'm very, very lucky because I get to help people. Even if now I'm on the research side and I'm on the backside that's moving toward to get it to the clinical histotech, I still look at it as the hope to help somebody.
That's really great. And we can definitely feel your passion for, you know, knowing and helping somebody.
Yeah.
So your colleagues described you as someone who always goes above and beyond, working late, coming in on vacation to make sure projects are moving along. What gives you, and I think you kind of answered this maybe in your last question, but what gives you your drive to excel?
That's another loaded question. First off, wow, how humbling. What great people. I really have some excellent people in my life. I really do. I haven't always been that lucky. I haven't always been that blessed in that arena. I've had the people over me that you're like, what is wrong with you? And also had, but and then you have the people that, okay, I can't, you know, I ask, I don't have, I'm not putting this in very good words. Let me see. I am so thankful and honored to be able to work with the people I work with right now, because they push me to want to do better for them, because I know what their long-term goal is. And in the slideshow presentation I sent you, and I hope that you're able to utilize it, there's a group that came through. Dr. Lovely is over that group. She is not actually one of my directors or anything, but she brought the patients in so they could see how the patients and their families into the lab, so they could have an understanding of what is happening to their biopsies when they have them done, and an understanding of, well, this is what our goal is to try to help you. And that was so, that meant so much to me. And so why wouldn't you want to work when you meet that person, when you realize behind every block and slide, there's somebody waiting for an answer or a diagnosis or to see if the treatment is working? How can you not want to achieve the best for them? How can you not want them to live and be successful? You know, and so, you know, part of it also, there was one vacation in particular I remember that I was actually supposed to go out of the country, and COVID happened. So everything changed with COVID. We were in a whole different world in 2020. But there was a patient that they wanted to get some information on, to try to help thousands of patients. And I happened to be on vacation and I was needed. And so how could I not go in for that? I mean, that just, you're helping thousands of people. That's just silly. Why wouldn't you go in? So it seems like a nothing to me. I mean, it's just a drive into work to do something I routinely do. So I was honored to be able to help somebody, and hopefully I helped lots of other people. You know, well, time will tell, but that's the one that sticks out in my mind. I do tend to stay late, and maybe that just means I'm persistent, because I don't, you know, I like to learn, and I like to try to figure out, well, why didn't it work? What is happening here? So I want to know, and I feel like that's just the right thing to do. I mean, you just do it.
Yeah, and definitely meeting the patients face to face. I can only imagine how powerful that was,
it really,
and how
was.
Much drive that does give you.
It does, and it gives you, you know, I'd always been told that, and kudos to the people at Path Group at the time that whenever I was training, every block, every piece of tissue that comes in, that's somebody, even if it's a gallbladder or an appendix, something that we just kind of ho-hum, you know, but that's still a patient, and that's still somebody there that is waiting, you know, even if they're like, well, nothing's going to come from it, but you know, you still have to treat it like it's somebody, and there's something that could be there, but you don't know. And they really pushed that, and it stuck with me. And then when I got to Vanderbilt, all, you know, all those years, we won't talk about how many years, but all those years later, and to have that, it meant a lot to me. And we still actually try to follow along to see, they're called the, well, I call them the ALKES, but it's the ALKES, I-E-S, because it's a certain gene that is in the lung carcinoma. And on Facebook, they have a site and you can follow how they're doing.
So we've also heard that you're a great communicator. So what tips can you other histotechs for being great communicators.
The best thing I have learned about me is I'm very visual. So for me, it's better to see it, to understand it. So if you come to me and you say, Cindy, my hope is to do a 6x6 millimeter, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Okay. For me, I've got to draw out 6x6 millimeter. I just do better when I visualize it. And I think as you grow, you need to learn what you're best at receiving the information. So when your pathologist comes and says, blah, 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 right? If you're better at writing it down while they say it, write it down. If you're better at visualizing it, visualize it in your head or make a picture, even though it may look funky to everybody else, as long as you understand it, please do it. And I just think that once you figure that out, it helps so much. You know, when I was studying for the QIHC, I got the books and I read and I took all this stuff, you know, I took in all these lectures, but the one that I learned the most from was the one that actually had it drawn out for me. And because I didn't realize how visual I was until I started doing that. And I don't know if that's just come from looking at so many slides over the years or what, but and once I took and I was able to like draw out dilutions, draw out the steps of a protocol. What does it take when you get an antibody that's made in mouse and you want to try to get it to a zebra fish or something, or a zebra finch if you're looking at birds, but you know, it's whatever. Draw that out. What does that look like? What do you need to get there? What is the antigen retrieval you need? What is the fixation? Maybe the fixation is the problem, but write it out, look at it, and have an understanding of the pattern and know what you need to do. And then try to visualize what the marker is you're looking for. You know, research it, look at pictures. As a histotech, I haven't been trained. I have to completely rely on my pathologist and my vet pathologist to tell me, is the actual accurate cell staining? Like I can look at it and I can ensure that, okay, well, where I think it should be staining is accurate, where the lining is accurate. I've found that piece of aorta or whatever exactly they're looking for. But I still need the diagnosis to be given. But for me, I want to go and I want to look at some other pictures to have an idea. It's not as easy in the clinical aspect because there is usually a bit of a time crunch. And research has that too, because they have the grant deadlines typically. But if you can just take a step back, and this may be on your own time, and I know that sounds hideous, but you know, Google it real quick. Google the marker, Google the species, Google what you're looking for. And for me, I wanted to visualize what I was looking for, know exactly what I was looking for. And then that way, when I did take the samples, or I do take them to my pathologist to look at, I feel pretty confident that we then could have a discussion about, well, this looks dirty to me. And when I say dirty, I mean, it's staining accurately, but maybe there's endogenous staining or I call it a blush across the slide. Maybe it's the slide. I've actually had a type of slide that holds stain. So it's for me, learning and figuring out how you can develop your skills. Like I said, if you write things better and you learn and you receive, then that's what you should do. If you listen, then listen and listen to as many podcasts or lectures or whatever you can listen to get learning. But for me, it's visual.
Outside of working in the lab, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I'm fairly active in church. And so for me, this gets back to, I like knowing. I like reading and understanding and researching. So of course I do Bible studies. So I like doing that. But I also have a dog. So I really enjoy my dog. And then I play violin. So those are the things I do. Oh, and during the season, I forget about this because right now it's not the season, but it's about to start. I am a season ticket holder for the Nashville Predators hockey team. And so I go to hockey games. I didn't think I would ever be a big hockey fan. I didn't know anything about it until we got a team. But I am now, yeah, season ticket holder. So I was always a football girl, but now it's hockey. So that's about to start in October. So.
Of course, we all want to know what kind of dog you have.
Oh my goodness. She is a Shih Tzu Yorkie, which they term her Shorky. But she's really laid back, except for thunderstorms. She has the personality, I guess, more of a Shih Tzu where she's like, whatever. And then she has the look of the Shih Tzu. So her hair is long and her snout is longer than like a... Sorry, she has the hair of a Yorkie, blah, blah. And she has her snout is long like a Yorkie, but she has the temperament of the Shih Tzu. So she's just like chill. She loves to ride, loves to go for car rides. Like she'll deal with walking. Yeah, if you fine, we'll go to the park. But she loves to go to Lowe's because she can go into Lowe's. So, and then she likes to go to Tractor Supply. And then my mom makes tie blankets and I'll help her with that. And we have now discovered that she can go to Joann Fabrics, which is a store here. I don't know if it's across the states or not, or the globe, but it's a fabric store here.
Sounds like she's spoiled for sure.
Oh, she's very spoiled. She's not just a little spoiled. She's exceedingly spoiled.
Well, is there anything else as the recipient of this award that you would like to share with us?
I have to say, someone mentioned in passing that they were going to submit my name. I just went, okay. But I was exceedingly, as Zoe's exceedingly spoiled, I was so humbled that when I found out that I'm still kind of speechless about it. And overwhelmed by the fact that I was awarded this award. I'm so honored. I just don't even know. Yeah, I'm speechless about it, but it's very humbling.
Thanks for talking with us today, Cindy, and congratulations on being the recipient of the Jules Elias Award. Thank you for joining us today, and don't forget to check out some of our other award and scholarship podcasts.